F1A. Number 7B.
After Jonah comes the next prophet, Micah. Micah means, translated from the Hebrew into our language, means who is like Yahweh, who is like Jehovah, Yahweh, who is like God. Can you see again? The question is, who is the true representative? Again, the focal point is not on God, but the focal point is on the Christ-likeness, on man as bringing out the Christ-likeness. Can I make that clear, how each one in this column has a different focal point? When Obadiah, the focal point was on a representative, the true and wrong representative, Esau and Jacob. That was the central figure, not God. The central figure in Jonah again was, who is a true representative? Is Jonah the true representative? How can I make out of a false representative a right representative? Now in Micah again, the focal point, as we'll see, is who is like Yahweh? Who is like God? Who is the true representative? Again, the same common denominator. Only that Micah brings out the true representative again in a different way than Obadiah and Jonah, namely that he shows now how the wrong sense of man must disappear, and that it only can disappear by giving birth to the true man within us, by giving birth to the true representative of Yahweh, who is like Yahweh, to give birth to our true manhood. And that in this way, the wrong sense of man disappears and the right sense of man appears, and you have therefore the third horizontal, which gives us the disappearance of evil, here the disappearance of the false representative, and the appearance of good is rendered inescapable, the appearance of the true man. This is the first prophet that speaks about man, where the term man appears. And not just man in a superficial way, but with an exclamation mark, so to say. Oh, man, he says in that prophecy. Oh, man. And you can hear at once that Micah is interested in bringing out within us what is the true man. He shows that everything that is not representing God, that is not like God, that God is going to destroy it. And you have a great sense of destroying and destroying and destroying that which is not of the true nature of man, that which is unlike the idea man. But Micah will restore the lost Israel, will restore God's people. He will restore the true idea man. And he says, how can I do it? Now here comes in the point of giving birth to the true idea. What gives birth to the true idea man? Always a woman. Always woman. Therefore, that prophecy is full with renderings that have to do with the woman sense. He speaks of the daughter of Zion, not the son of Zion, the daughter of Zion. The daughter of Zion, that she was divine science, that which was always symbolized through the woman and through the motherhood of God. thou daughter of Sion, the daughter of Jerusalem. You see, Sion, Jerusalem were always those symbols which symbolized the highest sense of signs, of divine signs. Up on Mount Sion was Jerusalem, on the top of a mountain it is situated. And so he appeals to the motherhood sense within us and says to the motherhood of sense within us, is there no king in thee? Is there no counselor in thee? Can you see? A king is a king. That's not something. That's something, huh? To be a king over the whole country. And he said, don't you see that you have a king within you? That you have the king and the priest within you? That you have the counselor within you? Don't try and think that the counselor, the king, is something outside, that it is not you, that it is something which you will never reach. You will always be just a servant of the king. You have the king within yourself. You have the idea, man, that dominates the world, that dominates the universe, the sixth day of creation, man, that is created and has dominion over the whole world. That man, that idea, man is within you. But you, daughter of science, you have to give it birth. So he appeals to that and says, birth pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Can you see? As a woman in travail. He appeals constantly to the woman sense. We didn't have that in Hosea. There we had the counterfeit of the woman's sense, where Hosea was asked to marry a harlot, a whore, in order to symbolize to Israel that Israel went a whoring, that Israel was not faithful to his God. And so he had to symbolize that. And in no other prophet have we a positive sense of womanhood until we come to Micah. And to Micah it said, you, daughter of Israel, you have the king within yourself. And if you go through the birth pangs, all right, that's all right, but you must be a woman in travail and give birth to it. Therefore, he was then the first one next to Isaiah that was prophesying really the coming of the new king. That was prophesying, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Israel, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Can you see, that was the first prophecy, that out of Israel would come the King, the Christ King, Jesus. And it was out of Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Israel. Doesn't that remind you at once of David? David was also the youngest son in the family, and he was the smallest one, and he was just out in the fields looking after the sheep, and he was not taken as to be a big boy, and the family was the smallest family in the tribe. So again, the smallest, that seems to be smallest materially, can become king in Israel and Judah. That's the story of Samuel. That's why I like that book that we have just published on 1 and 2 Samuel, because it gives that very thing here, that the smallest, if we nurture it as a woman and nurture it and give birth to that smallest remnant within us and give birth to it, we can make it the biggest thing in the world. We can make it king in Israel. That's what we have to do. That's why that story always appealed to me right from the beginning, right when I think back to my years, my students' years, my university years, and I began to see that prophecy, that the smallest, if it's tended properly, if it's nurtured properly, if it's loved properly, that it can become the biggest thing on the world. And Micah has seen that. And then he has seen that, he said, "He that showeth thee, O man, what is good, to walk humbly with thy God." So he could see, O man would be born. Not a mortal would be born, but the idea man that has dominion over the earth, has dominion over matter, over the human, that will be born in us. And therefore it's just a matter of being awake to it and being willing to be a mother to an idea, and not only a father. That doesn't do the trick. You know how David was a real go-getter. He was a real he-man. But he always failed when he was too much a he-man. And he had to go to the woman. And the woman always took him out of trouble. And always when he wedded himself to the woman's sense of things, then the situation resolved itself and he could go on and become king. So here too we have to see that the he-man within us is all right, but not enough. That we must have the daughter of Zion that looks after this idea and give to the idea the warmth of it, the faith in it, the love in it, that it sees really can see the end of it and see the end as the beginning and nurture that and welcome it and adore it and love it and see the bigness of it. All that woman's sense is necessary in order to nurture an idea. And then we can bring it forth. Yes. So, again, if we take that story and see it now, what is the point of intersection here? It's clear it has to do with God's likeness, with bringing forth God's likeness as a birth now, and see that we can give birth to it through the motherhood sense, so that in that process of giving birth something happens, namely the horizontal of Christianity, that the wrong sense of man disappears, and Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though it is the smallest among the thousands of Judah, will bring forth what? He that will rule in Israel. So that we see the disappearance really of a wrong sense of man and to the appearance of the right sense of man as the idea of the sixth day of creation that has dominion over the world. Yes, this is Micah. And that Micah has a great sense in it of that Christ manifestation that just comes down from God, and that nothing really can resist that coming down from the true idea. You know, it starts out with that wonderful symbolism where he goes out and says, the Lord will come down and tread upon the hills and upon the high places, and the mountain shall be molten as wax before the fire. You just can see a terrific sense of mind power coming, huh? That mind power, nothing can withstand that mind power. So, for ourselves too, I feel this is an attitude that we can nurture within the quietude of our contemplations and sit back and see what's going on in being, what actually is the process and the dynamics that goes on in being. And at this point I would see, I just can sit still and see there is the Christ power at work, and nothing can resist it anymore. It comes down to each one of us and touches us and says to us, come on, be a daughter in Zion, be a woman, give birth in quietude, in hiding away from the world, unknown to the world, give birth to your true sense of what man is, of what the spiritual idea man is. And if you give birth to it, you will see that that babe becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until it is ruling in Israel, until it's ruling in the realm of spirit. A terrific sense that is there, that irresistible power of the Christ that cannot be resisted by anything. Yes, if we take in the last prophet, Jeremiah, as the major prophet, you will again see that Jeremiah is interested in two things. In the vertical, namely, he is interested in the individual man. And second, the horizontal, that he is interested that that individual man understands God. Is that clear, that point of intersection? It is not in a general way like Isaiah, who in a general way began to see Israel does not know God. And that's why, because Israel does not know God, everything goes wrong in Israel. No, he does not talk to Israel. He talks to the individual. Jeremiah talks to the individual, which is quite interesting, because up to that time in human history, the individuality of man was never accepted, was unknown, so to say, was unknown. Up to that point, only the tribe, the nation, was important. And if somebody within a tribe did something wrong, the tribe was punished, not the individual. The tribe was responsible for everything that happened within the tribe. Therefore, we can see that something was lacking there, namely that there is an individual salvation, and that the individual can step out of the collective and say, if the collective does something wrong, that's their business. I, as an individual, have a direct relationship with God independent of the family. There is no punishment which is collective. There is only one thing, and that's the individual has a straight relationship with his principle. So he was the first, Jeremiah was the first to preach that very thing, and said it depends on the individual. On the individual depends what? That he understands God. So the pith of his long prophecy lies in that short explanation at the point when he goes through mind, spirit, soul. No, sorry, he has the Christ translation, when it comes down from principle, life, truth, and love to the point of soul. He says there, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Can you see? He was showing individuality. He said, I put my law into the hearts of everyone, not to into Israel as a tribe, into everyone, and everyone will know God. He will no more have to ask his neighbor, what is God? And they shall all know me. And I will put my law into their heart. And so for the first time in the cultural development of mankind, the time has come where the individual is coming into focus and is being realized as important for salvation. Same thing happened then on the other side of the Mediterranean, namely in Greece, where also the individuality of man, the individual salvation, was seen. So it is a universal idea that was working, as we have it so often, that the time somehow gets ready for a new idea, and then that new idea just springs up everywhere. Usually then it is pronounced clear in one country or in one place or through one individual more than through the others. But it's usually always what we call a multiple discovery. Not one alone discovers something. When something is ripe in an atmosphere in the world, it's usually 2, 3, 4, up to 7, 8 that discover something at the same time, independent from each other, in different parts of the world. And it is because not man can think out something new, but because the idea of God is advancing, and therefore we'll find a transparent person, a transparent individual, or a transparent situation where that new idea can shine through. So Jeremiah discovered the individual salvation. The individual salvation through what? Through understanding, through knowing God. That's the story of Jeremiah. And he wasn't well received. He was persecuted, put into a pit, and so on. And he was prophesying that Israel, because they didn't want to understand God, had to go. He was prophesying to the Babylonian captivity, and actually he wasn't liked. He wasn't liked just as today. Nobody's liked if he tells an advancing idea, because the general atmosphere may not be ready to admit it and to accept it. So this is in the nature of the divine idea, that the divine idea will not be universally received at once. Yes, that's that second column. Let's run through it again and just try to feel the impact of it, and just try to feel that these four prophets are talking to each one of us individually. Now, that we don't think there was a time about 3,000 years ago when there were four prophets prophesying something and that they were not understood and so on and so on. Let's see that they talk right now to us, that we get a feel that we are living in a world where we perhaps feel that individually we don't have found our way, our salvation, that we are not at ease and at rest, and that we feel we don't know who we are and what we are, what is our mission, where we don't know what is our future, heavier future, what is that future, how will I find that future. All that is an atmosphere that is in each individual present. What shall we do to that very situation? We can go to that second vertical and just see there is a Christ at work. From eternity to eternity, there is God's idea at work, and that idea manifests itself in each individual as the likeness of that divine idea. That's our starting point. And so if we take that starting point as the vertical, then we can see that we can say, all right, I sit here and I feel how the whole power of the Christ comes upon us, and it comes to me, and it goes and it brings down within me all that is of the nature of Esau, Edom will be brought low, and that power of the Christ has a great aim. It wants to establish the Jacob in me, and so that the Jacob can possess Esau. That's Obadiah. And if there is something in me that does not want to accept that mission which God has set out for me, or if I do not know what that mission is, I am willing to bend my knees and accept whatever comes to me in the divine light. I take it even if I don't see the end, even if I don't see why it is, and even if I don't see that it is for good. I accept it, just as Jonah did. He accepted it, though he was murmuring about it, but he had to go to Nineveh. And as I feel that, I think, well, I can't leave that in such a unstable atmosphere. I have to do something very definite to it. And I come to Micah, and I say, I'm going to be a woman, and I'm going to give birth to the idea man. That's something of the most wonderful thing that one can do, especially if one is young, and one can give birth to the true idea man, so that one is not that which mortal mind has made out of us, that parents have made out of us, that circumstances, education has made out of us, but that we can say, all that doesn't matter, I am going to give birth to the true idea man. And I'm nurturing it, I'm caring for it, I'm loving it, I hug it, I keep it warm, I protect it. All that what the mother does to a child, I do that to the idea of man. And in the measure as I do that, in that measure something begins to grow within me. And the interesting thing is that it begins to grow before we are aware of it, that it begins to grow. Only retrospectively we begin to see, oh, I see, way back, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that was the initial seed that was sown, and out of which there grew something which is in the nature of the divine development. And as I do that, I see I have to be a Jeremiah. I have to see that I can understand this process, and so I may go to scientific obstetrics and see that the process of giving birth is a scientific operation, is a scientific order, and so I can know the science of giving birth. I can know scientific obstetrics, and I go to scientific obstetrics and use that in my daily work and give birth to my true individuality.